As we are nearing the end of our liturgical year and even quickly nearing the end of our calendar year of 2017, if you can believe that, I want to remind us that time is a created thing. Before God created the universe, time did not exist. Have you ever pondered that? Time did not exist. Only the eternal timelessness of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, abiding in eternity past in the communion of self-exchanging divine love. But time came into existence along with the rest of creation, with the creation of the stars, the sun, the moon, which marked, as Scripture tells us, time, the days and months and seasons and years. And with the fall of man, there was a cosmic effect. All of creation became infected such that time itself reflects the curse of Adam. It reflects the decay, the winding down, the disordering of God's ordered creation, the chaos, the evil, the futility and despair of man's fallen plight as we are ushered ever closer to our end. As much as our society likes and culture likes to try to mask that fact, likes to be in denial of the reality of death and of these powers of chaos, we occasionally see it expressed even in popular culture. In my college days, I think I've confessed to you that I was a pretty big classic rock fan. And one of the bands back then in the very early, late 70s and the early 80s was a band, Pink Floyd, the British band Pink Floyd. And one of their biggest albums you've perhaps heard of, The Dark Side of the Moon, sold many, many albums. And one of the pieces, one of the songs on that is called Time. It's called Time. And I want to remind you of just some of the lyrics of that song. Ticking away the moments that make up a dull day. Fritter and waste the hours in an offhand way. Kicking around on a piece of ground in your hometown. Waiting for someone or something to show you the way. So you run and you run to catch up with the sun, but it's sinking. Racing around to come up behind you again. The sun is the same in a relative way, but you're older, shorter of breath, and one day closer to death. Every year is getting shorter, never seem to find the time. Plans that either come to naught or half a page of scribbled lines. Hanging on in quiet desperation is the English way. The time is gone. The song is over. Thought I'd something more to say. And in that song, Time, from that album Dark Side of the Moon, is expressed the despair, the reality of the fallenness of time. The fallenness of time, which is a reflection of the evil and the fallenness of mankind, living under the curse of Adam. And while that the writer, Pink Floyd, the writer of that lyric, had perhaps nothing more to say, we as Orthodox Christians have much more to say. Because God has called us to redeem creation, to redeem the time through the redeeming work and salvation that has been made available to us in our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the essence of the gospel. We have been called to redeem the time. And yet we see this apparent futility of time expressed over and over again throughout Scripture. In fact, one of the most pronounced expressions of that comes from King David's son, King Solomon, who was given, as we remember, the gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom. And King Solomon, in his pursuit of knowledge and wisdom, began to reflect upon this apparent futility. And let me read to you the opening of the book of Ecclesiastes. In chapter 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. This wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full to the place from which the rivers come. There they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new. It has already been done in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come, but those who will come after. We see in these opening words of Ecclesiastes perhaps a very pessimistic and negative view of the world. And what Solomon is trying to present here is the view of the world, the view of time and the passage of time from generation to generation. And this seemingly, the vanity of life, that of going nowhere, we're just on a treadmill. And it means nothing. In the words of William Faulkner, it's full of sound and fury, and signifying nothing, and who borrowed it from the words of Shakespeare. And this is the worldview of those who are living in time that is unredeemed. But we are called to redeem the time. In our gospel lesson this morning, Jesus is confronted by a nobleman in the same city of Cana where he performed his first miracle in turning water into wine. And this man, this nobleman, came to him and begged Jesus to come and to heal his son. But Jesus gave him just a word after telling him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. And this was a test. This was a test of the man's faith. And he said, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus simply said, go your way, your son lives. And it says, so the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. You see, in natural time, the seventh hour being 1 o'clock in the afternoon, the day before, this was the time that Jesus spoke those words and said, your son liveth. And in that belief, the belief, as small as perhaps and weak as his faith was, he believed. And in so believing, there was a redemption of time, such that in asking his servants, when was my son? When did he recover? And he said, at the seventh hour. In verse 53 of John 4, it says, so the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. Wow. Through the word of our Savior, through the word of God, there was a redemption of time. And a redemption of time that brought about a redemption of a whole family in this household. We are called to a life of that which is beyond the decay and the time and the disorder that time, the unredeemed time, is leading us toward. King Solomon, in closing out the book of Ecclesiastes, in presenting this very negative and pessimistic view in chapter 12, verse 13, he comes to the conclusion in presenting this very pessimistic view of time and ages. And he says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. This is man's all, to fear God, to keep his commandments. That is, there's an implication of belief, of trust in his word. Even the apostles understood the reality of this apparent futility of time. James, in his epistle in chapter 1, verse 11, says, for no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flowers falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. And in James 4, verse 14, he writes, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 24, writes, because all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flowers of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. And then we come to our epistle lesson this morning, St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians in chapter 5. Beginning in verse 15, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are evil. And the word for day here is in the light, not in darkness, because contrasted to darkness. So even in the light, the days are evil. The days are evil. And he's saying this in the first years of the church. He's writing, and here we are 2,000 years later, and we can still declare the days are evil. They are filled with the corruption and the decay and the disorder, the powers of chaos that time itself reflects. Even in science, we see in the second law of thermodynamics, for those of you who ever took physics, is that we don't move toward order, but everything is moving always ever toward disorder. Toward disorder. But St. Paul continues in his epistle, therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You see, Solomon, centuries earlier, had come to the conclusion of the whole conclusion, the matter of all. And that was in keeping his commandments. And St. Paul says, and do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And listen to this, because this is integral to the whole idea of redeeming the time. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. To sing, to make spiritual songs, to give thanks. What does this sound like? Sounds a little bit like divine liturgy, doesn't it? Sounds a little bit like our prayer offices. You see, our life, our living a Eucharistic life, is not only coming together as an assembly and and giving, offering our praise and thanksgiving and our prayers and supplications. But it is also the daily life of giving thanks, of coming before God and worship and thanksgiving, giving thanks in all things. This is what a Eucharistic life means. And in so doing, whether it be in our private prayer offices, saying our daily offices of prayer, or coming together corporately for a Mass, there is a redemption of time. You see, we are being transported out of the decay, the disorder, the chaos of this world, and into the timelessness and eternity of God. We see this picture also presented in the book of Hebrews in chapter 12, where it's written, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." St. Paul here is talking about the church triumphant, the saints which we do not see with our spirit, with our physical eyes, but that we may see with our spiritual eyes, who are gathered here together in this divine liturgy. He says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." You see, when we fail to redeem the time, when we live in the corruption of this world, when we become lured in the snares of the enemy, when we fail to be obedient to the word of God and become overtaken by our own disordered passions and lusts and impulses, it is so easy to become weary and discouraged because we are no longer abiding in a redeemed time. We are no longer abiding in timelessness. We are no longer abiding in the promises and truths of God. But we have been called to redeem the time, to transcend the fallenness, and yes, even the death of this world. Yesterday, several of us gathered at St. Timothy Catholic Church in Walkersville to honor and to memorialize the life of Danielle's dad, Robert Niederberger, who I had personally known for quite a few years, and in fact spent a year with him in seminary. And even though it was his death, his passing was unexpected and rather sudden, and without a doubt, Danielle and her family still grieve the loss of their loved ones. There, they do not grieve as those who have no hope, because Robert was a man who understood about redeeming time, about taking the word of God and receiving it with faith, with assurance of the promises and the hope of things not yet seen. So we grieve, yes, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope, who despair, who cry out, "All is vanity," for we know better. We abide in the gospel and the hope of our Lord, who has defeated sin and death. And let us, who have been joined to him in that victory, give ourselves as sacrifices in daily redemption and living Eucharistically in the liturgical life and rhythms that God has called us to in his church and his holy mysteries, and making real the gospel, the truth of God's word. for there we become redeemers of the time. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.